welcome to the Meta Church Podcast. We're thankful that you're taking part of your day to spend it with us, and we pray this message encourages you, inspires you, and leads you to experience the transformative power of Jesus in your life.
Purpose. We all want it. We're all looking for it. I mean, all of us, every single person is looking for purpose. We're all in search of it. There's something just about the human existence, about human nature, that longs for meaning and purpose. We're in desperate search and pursuit of it. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone has asked, everyone has searched, everyone has been curious about what is their purpose. And in fact, the truth is, or the reality is, that the question of purpose is ultimately an inescapable one. Even for the staunchest of atheists or evolutionists or those who would ascribe to the fact that there is no meaning, you cannot escape the question itself. What is the point of life? What is the meaning of all this? Is there all this is? Is this the extent or the sum of my life? Why am I here? What am I here for? What is, ultimately, what is my purpose? And that's why there's no shortage, and certainly there's a plethora of articles, of books, of coaches, of counselors, and yes, even sermons seeking to help people like you and like me answer and discover and find our purpose. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense because the science and the research has shown that people who have a higher sense of purpose, people who feel like they have more purpose in their lives, have actually tend to live longer lives, actually at a lower risk of disease, they sleep better, and overall, they have better health. So they live longer lives, they sleep better, they have lower risk of disease, and they have better health. But it actually goes a step further than that. In fact, I wrote this down because I didn't want to miss it. A 2016 study published by the Journal of Research and Personality quoted and cited this summation or this conclusion based off of the research. It said this: individuals who feel a sense of purpose, get this, make more money than individuals who feel as though their work lacks meaning. So not only does purpose help you live longer, not only does purpose help you sleep better, and I can again amen on that, especially as you get older, not only does purpose lower your risk of disease, not only does purpose help you have better overall health, but it actually positions you to earn more money. I mean, who doesn't want that? Raise your hand if you want some more money. I don't got it, but purpose apparently will help you get it. Clearly, there are some benefits to finding and understanding purpose. And clearly, even beyond that, our desire and your longing for finding purpose and the overwhelming scientific evidence reveals to us that there is an incredible amount of significance wrapped up and tied into knowing one's purpose. And all of this, while we may agree with it, all of this, while we may accept it as truth and reality, does not answer this one fundamental and what I would say a gaping question, which is this: where does purpose come from? Where does our purpose, where does your purpose come from? Does it come from ourselves? Does it come from someone else, from me as the person who's speaking and communicating this message? Does it matter where purpose comes from? Who gets to say it's right or wrong, or yes, that is your purpose, or no, it's not? And the reason that question matters, the reason it's so fundamental, and the reason why it's so important that we answer that question is because purpose implies intention. Purpose implies intention. And what I mean by that is that something that has purpose, what that indicates or what that means is that there is an intention behind it or an intention for it. And so if you have purpose and if you have intention, then someone somewhere at some point must have assigned or ascribed that. And I'll liken it to you this way. We just got back from vacation. We were hanging out with our friends. Carolina's great trip. Friends for me and Krista, friends for Gia, like pool, lake, boats, you know, 4th of July fireworks. Like, and it was like Americana at its finest in the Carolinas. And so we had a great time, but we were hanging out with some of our friends, and our friends just got a 3D printer, or maybe not just got, but within the last year, got a 3D printer. And if you ever want to know how to occupy like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old for like hours on end, go ahead and get yourself a 3D printer. Get yourself a 3D printer, get all the supplies that you need or whatever, stick them in the machine, put your design in there. And it takes, I didn't realize this, but 3D printers take quite a while to print out the actual objects. But if you do it, those kids will just sit there and they will watch for hours as this machine, as this printer prints off this piece of material or this piece of plastic that you assigned to it. And the reason I bring it up, because it's not about kids. The reason I bring it up is because our friend that has this printer, he has all sorts of like plastic widgets around his house. Things that he's designed for fun, things that he's designed out of creativity. He has one that he's trying to work on like that would actually like solve a problem for certainly for his family and potentially could be profitable or generate revenue down the line. And so he has all of these 3D printed objects, but with every object, he had a purpose or an intention behind that object. And in the same way, purpose implies intention for us. You see, it's the one who makes the design or the one who makes the design is the one who holds the intention. The one who says, hey, this is what I want, whether it's a 3D printed object, whether it's a, put together manufactured piece of equipment, whoever makes the design is the one who holds the intention. And again, I ask, where does our purpose come from? Where does your purpose come from? Who is the one that ascribed purpose to you? Well, it's no surprise. I'm a Christian. And what that means is I ascribe to and believe in the ways and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe Jesus is God himself. And that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, designed us, created us, and have become our designers. And just as my friend designs products through this 3D printer with intention and with purpose, God has created us and designed us with purpose. In fact, that's what the scriptures say. Proverbs 16:4 says this, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. Everything. When the scriptures say everything, what they mean is everything, including you. Including you. God has made for his own purposes. In fact, God has created you on purpose. Okay, you were not an accident. It wasn't a lucky random shot in the dark that you are here. God created you on purpose and with a purpose. So not only is it intentional that you are here, but God has created you intentionally to be here with intention to fulfill while you are here. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian today or not yet a Christian. You're saying, I don't know what to make of this. I'm just trying to discover or follow the way of Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. I believe and we believe that when God dreamed of you, when God envisioned you, when you were a thought in God's heart, and in his mind, that he had intention for you, he had purpose marked over your life, and he designed you in such a way to live and fulfill those very purposes here on this earth in a gloriously impactful way. And that's exactly what this series is about. I mean, if you missed it, the obvious title, Finding My Purpose, is about helping you find your purpose. And over the last several months, I've had multiple conversations. I've been involved in multiple conversations with people at Meta Church who are wrestling and questioning and working through this very thing. Like, what is my purpose? What am I here for? What does God want for me? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Do I go here or do I go over here? Do I live my life in such a way? Like, what is it that is supposed to be kind of the epicenter or the focal point of my direction in life? What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose of my, what is my contribution to this world? And I would stretch it out a bit bigger and a bit broader. In fact, I would go back to the whole of starting with the COVID pandemic that really the entirety, certainly of the Western world, or I should say, let me zoom in a little bit tighter, our American country, the United States of America, that many of us, if not most of us, have been asking these same questions. When COVID hit and you start seeing things change and people, starting to think through like, well, what is the role that I play in this world? What is the meaning of my life? What is my contributions? In fact, I would say that, you know, this thing that they're talking about, the great resignation that's taken place over the last couple of years where people are just quitting jobs and moving into different spaces or changing their career path or their trajectory and leaving behind some of these things. It's a question or it's been a result of questioning, what is my purpose? Is it just to go to work? Is it just to produce this thing? Is it just to make money? Is it more than that? And as we've zoomed back in into Meta Church, what I realized that, yes, this is a question we ought to wrestle with. This is a question we ought to pursue. This is a question we ought to seek. In fact, it is a God-honoring question that we ask. And that's exactly what this series is all about. It's about helping you find your purpose. It's about helping you step into that purpose. And over the next 4 weeks, including today, what we're going to do is work through a series of questions. Today is pretty simple. What do I need to know about God's purposes for my life? And then next week, we're going to jump into, well, what's required of me to discover those purposes? Because listen, it's one thing to know your purpose, but there's also a type of person, a character building, a character that you need to become so that you can step into that purpose. And then in week three, we're going to talk about, how do I find it? Like, how's the practical? Now that I know what God wants me to know about it, now that I understand who I need to be so I can receive this purpose, how do I discover it and how do I pursue it? And then we'll close out in the fourth and final week with a message answering the question, how do I steward God's purposes for my life? And over the course of the next 4 weeks, what I hope and what I pray is that not only would you engage, not only would you reflect on these things, whether that's by taking notes or praying into them over the course of the week, but my prayer and my hope is that the Holy Spirit would speak directly to you and move you toward the path, move you toward the road in which you will live and lean into your purpose and fulfill that purpose in your life and experience wholeness and excitement and passion and fervor. Whether that's by way of your job, whether that's by way of your neighborhood, whether that's by way of some ministry or something entirely off the grid or off the board at the moment, but that you would find purpose and significance and be on the road to pursuing it with everything that you've got. So with that in mind, I want to jump to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're going to be today, and we're going to start in verse 4. This is what the Apostle Peter wrote to the Christians. It says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. See, notice his language. He was chosen. There's purpose. He was chosen for what? What's the intention? For great honor. Verse 5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, let me pause right here because there's a couple things we have to understand and embrace in this moment. When we're talking about purpose, there's kind of two parts to it. There's maybe twofold. There's macro purpose, or what I would call macro purpose, and then there is micro purpose, okay? Peter is speaking about these things. He's going to be addressing them in this text. But macro purpose, let me kind of illustrate it this way, okay? It's baseball season. It's the summertime. It's baseball season. And the Yankees are crushing it, baby. We're number one in pitching, number one in hitting, number one in Major League Baseball. You might not care about the Yankees, but you should because they're crushing. This is our year. I'm counting on it. I'm banking on it, baby. For the first time since 2009, the Yankees are dominating, which is amazing. So I thought, why not talk about baseball? Okay, and let me illustrate it to you this way. What you'll see is up on the screen, a baseball diamond. And on this diamond, you'll see, you'll notice nine positions, nine players who are, in effect, on defense during a baseball game. And you'll have them all the way from catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, pitcher, and then left, center, and right field. And these position players all have one macro purpose, ultimately, to win the game. But throughout the game and based on the scenarios, based on the circumstances of the game, each position has its own micro purpose. For instance, the center field is not pitching to the batter, and nor is the center field catching what's been pitched. See, that's the role of the catcher. That's the micro purpose of the catcher. That's the micro purpose of the pitcher. And the center field has his or her own micro purpose to field the ball and make the right play. And over the course of the game, each of these players has their own micro purpose, which ultimately, hopefully, allows them to accomplish and fulfill the macro purpose. So now look back at me. Here's what I mean by that. Here's the application for you as a follower of Jesus, or for you in pursuit of your purpose. Macro purpose is God's general purpose for all his children. His general purpose for all his children, while micro purpose is God's specific purpose for you, his child. Macro purpose, just like in that baseball illustration, is the bigger picture. It's the bigger purpose for all his children. While micro purpose is that individualistic specific plan or specific purpose for you and for your life. And Peter is kind of touching on these two things at the same time. So we'll continue on. Verse 6, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you, those, now he's speaking to Christians. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject them, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. So he quotes another page of scripture, another verse of scripture, if you will. Verse 8. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. So what Peter is doing here, he's talking about Jesus and Jesus' specific purpose. See, God even had a specific purpose, a micro purpose for his own son that played into the macro purpose. And so he's referencing Jesus, but then he pivots in verse 9, and now he goes back to you, not about Jesus, but about you. Verse 9, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, verse 11, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. See, Peter's exhortation to the Christians here was a call to purpose. He was kind of summoning them together, and he wanted them to know that it was no mistake that they were there. And just like Jesus had a purpose, these believers had a purpose. And just like God had intention behind what he wanted Jesus to do, he has intention behind what he wants you to do. And just like there was purpose in what Jesus fulfilled, there's purpose behind or in what you fulfill as well. It was as if Peter was kind of mustering up all that he could emotionally and spiritually to try to communicate something, to try to convey something, to really kind of share three things that these people needed to know when it came to their God-given purpose and calling. And I want to share those three things with you. And here's kind of the first need to know. The first thing you need to know is this: your purpose will always align and are always aligned with and work to fulfill God's purposes. Your purpose will always work to, or will always align with and work to fulfill God's purposes. See, we don't operate in a vacuum, so to speak. And what I mean by that is not that our purpose is about us and, okay, like, God, it's about fulfilling my desires and my purpose, and that's all I care about. That's all I want. Well, it's not like an isolation. It's not something that we're just saying, okay, this is just about me. God doesn't get sucked into our desires or get sucked into our purpose. Instead, it's that we get enveloped by God's purposes. I don't know if you know this, but we happen to live in a pretty self-centered and self-absorbed society. It's all about us. It's all about, well, I should be more specific. It's all about you. Whatever you want for yourself, whatever you think is right, whatever you want to do, whoever you think is wrong should be banished. Whoever you think is wrong should be canceled. Whoever you think should be, you know, all these things, just about you. Self-centered, self-absorbed. I'm the greatest gift to humanity. I'm the greatest gift to this world. I'm the greatest gift to my company. I'm the greatest gift to my building. I'm the greatest gift to my neighborhood. Now, we don't say those things out loud, but we certainly operate in that way. We certainly live like that. We certainly choose to believe that what I have to do or what I have to say or what matters to me is of greater importance or consequence than the person next to me. And in the process of becoming self-absorbed and self-consumed, what we've done is we've convinced ourselves that our purpose or the pursuit of our purpose is solely about me and what makes me feel good. It's about what I want. It's about my interests, about my desires, about what I want to accomplish, what I want to achieve in this life. But Peter rebukes that. In fact, this is what Peter said. Look at verse 9 again. He says this, but you are not like that. In other words, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are not self-absorbed. You are not self-centered. You are not self-consumed. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of that darkness of self-absorption, out of that darkness of self-centeredness, out of that darkness of self-consumption, and into his wonderful light. See, the reality is our purpose should always align with God's purposes. If you kind of envision it like it's like an umbrella of sorts, then your purpose is underneath that umbrella, or like that baseball diamond. All nine people are within the field of play, accomplishing the greater macro purpose. And listen, let me just be clear. This doesn't mean, because I think a lot of people get confused, say, well, what if I don't like it? Or what if I don't, so that doesn't mean I just have to suffer through something. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you won't enjoy it. It doesn't mean that you won't find fulfillment. It doesn't mean that you can't be happy in pursuit of your purpose. It doesn't mean that this purpose isn't going to bring you great satisfaction and great significance and great opportunity. It simply means that your purpose has a much bigger purpose, that your purpose does not operate in a vacuum where everything else just gets sucked in. But actually, it's that your purpose gets brought into a much greater and grander purpose. Ultimately, as Peter said, your purpose is to display the goodness of God in every single situation, every single day, in as many ways as possible. That you stepping into your purpose, you fulfilling your purpose, is a means or a method in which the goodness of God is revealed and displayed to the world around you. And so it's not just about you. And it's not just about what you want to achieve. Your purpose aligns with and works to fulfill God's purpose. Here's the second thing you need to know. Your purpose is a gift to be stewarded. Your purpose is a gift to be stewarded. Now, purpose is something that we would all agree, well, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming, okay, I'm going to make a generous assumption that we would agree that knowing one's purpose is of incredible significance. The science and the data show that, but then also like kind of like our colloquial, our experience amongst our friends and our peers reveals us that people care about their purpose, they're in pursuit of it. So we know it's of import, we know it's of significance, and so that would make purpose being something that's incredibly valuable. And if you're not sure how valuable purpose is to you, then I would ask you to consider this question. Have you ever looked at someone else who seems to be living in their purpose and find yourself to be slightly jealous or envious of what they have or what they're doing? Not because you want to do it yourself, but because you say, man, I wish I had something like that in my life that I felt significant about, or I felt committed to, or I felt excited about. So purpose has value. And because it has value, we tend to cherish and care for the things that we value. For instance, several years ago, out of the blue, a person that we knew decided to buy me a brand new Jeep Wrangler, four-door Jeep Wrangler, my dream car. Like if I could buy any car today, I would get a Jeep Wrangler, trick it out, like it would be amazing. And this guy decided to buy like a $30,000+ Jeep and gift it to me. For free, no strings attached. And man, I had this Jeep, I drove it around, I took the roof off, I had the windows down, I had the music blasting. We would go out, I would pick up friends, I would clean this thing, I would take care of this thing, I would, you know, make sure it was parked nicely in the garage, I would make sure the doors when I took them off or the panels when I took them off, that I would place them properly because I cared for this gift, this thing that had been given to me. I wanted to steward it and I wanted to treat it right because that's what you do with gifts that you value. This is how Peter said it in verse 10. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. In other words, what Peter was saying is, listen, you had no identity. You had no understanding of who you are, of who you were. And now God has gifted you this. This purpose is welling up within you and you're starting to discover and you're starting to step into who you were supposed to be, who God intended for you to be, the intention behind the purpose. And you're starting to gain confidence in that. And you're starting to see this identity come to fruition. And you're starting to realize like we are something or I am something. And there is more to this life. And there is something significant that I can contribute. And I do have meaning and I do have reason to be here. And I do have a purpose to play in this world. And see, and Peter was saying, this is what you've been given. And you haven't earned it. You haven't worked for it. God just gifted it to you. And because it's been gifted to you, then you, in return, ought to steward it appropriately. You see, what we have to realize is that our purpose is a gift, not a guarantee. And what I mean by that, not that God has not guaranteed that you have purpose, but that it's not a guarantee you will live and walk in that purpose. See, if you don't steward the gift, then you won't be able to walk in the gift and you won't be able to fulfill your purpose. You have to steward this gift that's been given to you. The third thing you need to know, the third thing Peter wanted you to know is this. Your purpose is usually revealed and fulfilled in day-to-day faithfulness and not some sort of major revelation. Okay, this is a big one. This is one that I think we miss out on, is one that I think we get disappointed by. Your purpose is usually revealed and fulfilled in your day-to-day faithfulness and not some sort of major revelation. I think most people assume, or most people believe, that their purpose in life will be revealed via some sort of major revelation, some sort of massive spiritual download, or some sort of like kind of divine eureka moment where like an angel shows up and is like, Ricky, this is what you're here for. And we think, oh, wow, thank you, God. Now I can step into this. It's like we expect to have those kind of moments. And listen, let me be clear. While that does happen for some people, there are people who have had dreams or visions and they said, that's it. This is what I'm here for. There are others who felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped an explicit and clear word into their lives. And so they knew exactly at that moment, this is what I'm supposed to do. But for the rest of us, and I would argue for the majority of us, the overwhelming majority of us, the truth is that your purpose is actually more likely to be discovered in your day-to-day faithfulness than it is in this one-time, miraculous, divine encounter. And that's kind of what Peter speaks to. Again, if you go back to the text, verse 12, Peter tells the people, and he says this, be careful to, notice this word, live. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now, why did I highlight the word live? Live, because life is intended to be lived. You live life every single day. You don't live life one day and then wait for 6 months down the road or for 6 years down the road and say, okay, now I'm living another life. No, you live life today and then you're going to live life tomorrow and then you're going to live life the day after that, day by day, day after day, day to day. It's your faithfulness in those daily moments that actually allows you to step into, to discover, and ultimately to fulfill this God-given purpose for your life. It's that daily outworking of your faith, or as Paul would later write or elsewhere write in the book of Philippians, the outworking of your salvation that enables you and equips you to take hold of this purpose that God has for you. You know, I graduated college in 2008, and I went to a small Christian college where the majority of students went to school to study to be, you know, in pastoral ministry of some kind, missionaries and other parts of the world. Some of them were going to focus on the classroom and in education and at Christian schools or Christian education. But the majority of us went there to be pastors, to do what I am doing today. And I remember I graduated in 2008, and over the next few years, maybe the next kind of 4 years, let's say, you know, we were 22, 23, me and my peers, as we, you know, those who I graduated with, 22, 23, 24, 25. And I was working for a church, but many of them were not, which is not an indictment on who they were. But what I was always kind of perplexed by was that I would get these phone calls or these, you know, messages on Facebook or wherever it might have been. And they would say, Ricky, like, I'm, you know, like, man, let's catch up. And we talk and they're like, I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated because I'm not like in Guatemala on the mission field like I thought I was going to be. Or I'm frustrated because I'm not working on staff at a church. I'm not, you know, the youth pastor. I'm not like, you know, an associate pastor or the things that I went to school for. Like, I'm not doing those things. And it's like, there's no opportunity. I'm not getting like this is what God has called me to do, but I can't fulfill my calling. I can't step into my purpose. And after a few of these conversations, I remember just asking, like starting to ask, well, what are you doing like right now? Like, okay, great. You're in Ohio, right? Like, and you want to be in Guatemala. Like, this is a real situation. You're in Ohio and you want to be in Guatemala. Yeah, like that's it. So what are you doing in Ohio to like fulfill your God-given calling? Like, what are you doing to fulfill? Like, you want to go to Guatemala to tell people about Jesus. You want to start, you know, some resource center. Like, are you volunteering at a resource center now? Are you helping out at a shelter? Are you, you know, giving into this kind of ministry? Are you using what resources and availability you have today to step into your purpose? And you know what was jarring to me? I'm telling you, probably I would get this kind of conversation once a month for 4 years. So let's underestimate, let's call it 35 to 40 of these conversations. 35 to 40 of these conversations after the first handful. So let's take out five. 30 to 35 conversations now, I would ask that question. And there was not a single instance in which someone responded back to me and said, yeah, here's what I'm doing now to fulfill my purpose, even though I'm not where I think I'm supposed to be or where I believe God wants me to be. Not once. Not once. Mind you, these were people who wanted to be pastors. These were people who wanted to be missionaries. And instead, they were so distracted or so frustrated or so discouraged that they weren't where they thought they should be, that they weren't even living in their purpose today. Which then led me to ask, well, why would God give you something in Guatemala if you're not willing to do it in Ohio? And the same is true for you and the same is true for me. Why would God gift us with greater vision, greater significance, and greater purpose for the future if we're unwilling to step into it and walk daily in faithfulness and pursuit of the purpose that he has for our lives? He wouldn't. It just doesn't make sense. You see, if you sit around and do nothing, hoping, wishing that one day your purpose will be revealed to you and downloaded and offered to you in a moment, then I've got bad news, because you will likely be sitting around for a very long time. So what do I need to do? What do I need to know? What is it that I should walk away with? Well, you need to know that your purpose will always align with and work to fulfill God's purposes. You need to know that your purpose is a gift to be stewarded. And you need to know that your purpose is usually revealed and fulfilled in your day-to-day faithfulness. So as I conclude this week's message in week one of our series, I want to give you some reflection questions. This can kind of serve as our next steps for the week. I'll give them to you all at once. I want you to screenshot this on the, or jot it down on your phone. But this week, today, beginning today and through the course of this week, as you begin praying into and pursuing your purpose, I want you to answer and reflect on these three questions. Do my purposes align with God's? Am I treating my purpose as a gift? Am I making the most of each day? These three questions, it's yes or no. Like, you could answer them right in this very moment. But as you reflect on these questions, as you answer them, what you'll find is where you need to shift, where you need to change, how you need to posture yourself differently. And ultimately, what you'll find is that you'll begin orienting yourself in alignment with what God desires for you so that you can step into it and so that you can fulfill it.
Thanks again for joining us today on the MetaChurch podcast. To connect further with us, find us on Instagram or visit us online.